Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivagacharya Sarara Satsavayan Grace Esi Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Yes Kong Fongda Char Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsi Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Daita Gadadhar Shri Vasudev Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gir Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Marani Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Shushi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 56. Atta kala upavrite. I study 56, so I guess I'll do 55 and 56. And I was told this just this morning, and okay, so I'll run through 55 and then do 56. Ah? Yeah, sorry. Shri Sukha Vacha. Swasurvada nivarite kamsastad vakya saravit vasudevo pitam prita prasasya pravishyad griham. Shri Sukha Vacha Svasurvadan Nivavrite Kamsastad Vakya Saravit Vasudevo Pitam Prita Prasasya Pravishad Griham Swasurvadan Nivarite Kamsastad Vakya Saravit Vasudevo Pitam Prita Prasasya Pravisad Griham. Swasurvadan nivarite. prodigies. Translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudeva, and having full faith in Vasudeva's words, he refrained from killing his sister. Vasudeva, being pleased with Kamsa, pacified him further and entered his own house. Purport. Although Kamsa was a sinful demon, he believed that Vasudeva will never deviate from his word. The character of a pure devotee like Vasudeva is such that even so great a demon as Kamsa firmly believed in his words and was satisfied. Yashyasi bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvir gunastatra samasate sura. All good attributes are present in a devotee, so much so that even Kamsa believed in Vasudeva's words without a doubt. On text 56. I just hope that this was included too, because somehow I didn't know I had to do 55 also. I'll read this. Atta kala upavrite devaki sarva devata putran prashushuve chastau kanyam chai vanu vat. Vatsaram. Translation. Each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God and all the demigods, gave birth to a child. Thus she bore 8 sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The spiritual master is sometimes glorified as Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. Bhagavatam 11.7.27. By the grace of the Guru, the spiritual master, one can understand the different kinds of devas. The word deva refers to God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original source of all the demigods, who are also called devas. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, the Lord says, Aham adhir hi devanam. I am the source of all the devas. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, the original person, expands in different forms. Tad Aikshata Bahu Sram, Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. He alone has expanded into many. Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam, Brahma Samhita 5.33. There are different grades of forms known as Swamsa and Vibhinamsa. The Swamsa expansions, or Vishnu Tattva, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Vibhinamsa are Jiva Tattva, who are part and parcel of the Lord. Mamaivamsa Jiva, Mamaivamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. If we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him, all the parts and expansions of the Lord are automatically worshipped. Sarvarhanam Achutejya, Bhagavatam 4.31.14. Krishna is known as Achuta. Sena yor obhayor madye ratam stapaya me achyuta. By worshipping Achyuta Krishna, one automatically worships all the demigods. There is no need of separately worshipping either the Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva. If one concentrates upon Krishna, one worships everyone. Therefore, because Mother Devaki gave birth to Krishna, she is described here as Sarva Devata. Om Gyanatir Manasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshmatam Yena Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. Shri Mati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namo Namase Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachani. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatayana. Ya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Daita Gadada Shri Vasudhi Gaurabhakti. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So sometimes in our lives, we may get some surprise. We may be notified, you know, we have a serious illness or something, or you may even die within a few days. So then that's a serious eye-opener. You know, we start to get very serious immediately. You put everything aside and just start to focus on that. Like this morning I was told to give class, just like a couple of hours really, and I wasn't prepared or anything because I was not even keeping track with the voices. So then I took it as a challenge because, you know, we're preparing our life to preach and to practice Krishna consciousness. So I just took it up as a challenge and I decided to accept the duty. So here it's stated that the spiritual master, sometimes he enlightens the disciple as to the position of the demigods and the Supreme Lord. It's stated that the Lord Krishna, has two specific expansions, and that is as the Swamsa, which is the Vishnu Tattvas, and then the Vibhinnamsa, or the Jiva Tattvas. Within the Vishnu categories, we know that you have the quadruple expansion force, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh. Then from that you get the other expansions, like the different avatars, like the guna avatars. There's like Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma. Then you have the Manvantara avatar. Then you have the Leela avatars. You have the Dasa avatars. The Shaktavish avatar, you have the Purush avatar. So all these are within the Vishnu Tattva categories. And, you know, we've discussed it many, many times. But this is there. And then there's also Lord, the Rudra Tattva, which falls within these two categories. He's not quite Vishnu Tattva nor Jiva Tattva, but he's within a special category. See? And of course, then we have the Vibhinsha Namsha or the Jiva Tattvas. And within that, there's a list of different categories. That includes the demigods. The demigods, the humans, the trees, the aquatics, the Gandharvas, Apsaras, Rakshas, Yakshas, Kinaras, Charanas, so forth. In fact, the thing in one of the Puranas, forget which one of the Puranas. It states Jalaja Navalakshani, Stavara Laksha Vimshati, Krimayo Rudra Shankyaka, Prakshinam Dasha Lakshanam, Trimshal Lakshami Pashava, Chatur Lakshani Manushaha. So this gives the different totals of the jiva categories. There are 900,000 aquatics, 2 million non-moving entities like the trees and plants, 1,100,000 reptiles and insects, 1 million species of birds, 3 million species of animals, and 400,000 human species. And I guess within the human species includes like the demigods and the rakshasas, yakshas, goblin, kinaras, charnas, and so forth. All of these species. And within these species, 8 million species have no knowledge of the Supreme Being. Of the 8,400,000 species, 8 million has no awareness. They're totally in ignorance. And that's all the trees and the plants and the animals and so forth. See? Has no knowledge of Krishna consciousness of self-realization. Only within the categories of the 400,000 species. See? Steady the unmoving, the insects, fishes, birds, animals, men, deities. Having cast these bodies thousands of times, gets the body of a man and a chance to take to Krishna consciousness. Now he who, having obtained a human birth so difficult to obtain, and a step towards self-realization, if he does not help himself, who in this world is more sinful? That man, having obtained a human birth with superior senses, if he does not understand what benefits the soul, he is compared to a slayer of a brahmana. See? So within the jiva categories, when one comes to this human platform, then one has this chance to take up to self-realization. And if he does not, then who is to be blamed? You know, if he's complacent, lackadaisical, then we'll have to take birth after birth after birth until we can fully surrender, or until we become perfected in our goal. See? So this is very important. And I bring up this point a little more because quite a lot of people are aware of Krishna consciousness. Many, if you see the festival, if you come to the festival, like Janamashtami, you know, Balaram's appearance day, we see thousands of devotees that are aware of Krishna consciousness. But then if you come daily to the temple, see, then we just see a spectrum there. Just, we know some are busy working and studying and so forth, but yet they are still quite a multitude out there that's just taking it easy. And somehow or the other, we have to come to this awakening that somehow or the other, by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the devotees, and our own pious credit, we've got a chance to come to this process. And so now we have to somehow or the other try to understand how we need to take it seriously. How we need to get serious and follow the rules and regulations set up by Srila Prabhupada. See? He actually gave us 16 rungs, is like, Lord, he said, That's like the minimum, rock bottom. See? Following the four regulative principles. He gave us like very simple things to do, and if we can come to this standard of, or this platform, then we can know that we're shortchanging ourselves, see? And we're robbing ourselves of the opportunity now, see? It's like crossing the whole Atlantic Ocean in a boat, and then we come to the wharf, and then suddenly we capsize by the wharf. See, after coming to this human form, which is so special, it takes us millions and millions and even billions of lifetime. See, and then we become complacent and lackadaisical. So we have to somehow or the other understand this truth and get serious. So it stated also that the spiritual master enlightens the disciple about the positions of the demigods. And there are many different categories of demigods. You have the Adityas. How many Adityas there are? Anybody know? The sons of Aditi. I think there were 12. See, and they are like the administrators within the universe. I think like Surya, Soma, Indra and so forth, see? Even Lord Vishnu fall within the category. And then you have the Vasus, and there were like 8 Vasus. And then you have the Rudras. There were 11 Rudras. Then the Vishvadevas. The Vishvadevas, I think those are the directions. And then you have the Maruts. And the Ashwin Kumars, which were 4, and then the Ribhus. These are the different categories of the deities. So when Lord Krishna came, or when he was about to take birth also, a lot of the deities promised to come to help him. In fact, it was the devas that went to the milk ocean and begged for him to descend on earth because of the demonic forces on the earth, the Kshatriyas that were posing as kings, and they were suppressing the populace of the earth. And so they went to the, of course, Mother Earth, Bhum Devi, went to Lord Brahma Force, and then they went to the milk ocean, and they prayed to the Lord, and then the Lord said he will come. But then the devatas also will take birth, or assist in different ways also. So maybe we can look into this a little bit. We know Surya's son, Karna, he came. So he would be some way involved in helping to exterminate the demonic forces. You had Indra's son, Arjuna. Vayu's son, Bhima. Dharma's son, Yudhishthira. You had the sons of the Kumaras, Sahadeva and Nakula. Then we had, who else we had? They say that, well, of course, Bhishma had born already. He took birth earlier, before Krishna. And he was one of the Vasus, the last of the Vasus. And then you had Dronacharya. Dronacharya was... anybody knows who was Dronacharya? I think he was a portion of Brihaspati. Yeah, Brihaspati. And then, of course, you had... You had the sons of Drupadi that were born later on. They were the Vishvadevas, the directions. See? And then you had Drupadi, who was a portion of Indra's wife. Abhimanyu, who was Soma's son. Then you have Rukmini, who was Lakshmi. And Pradyumna, who was Sanat Kumar. So all of these came to assist the Lord in his pastimes, see? And then, of course, you had the demons also were there, too. You had Jarasandha, who was Viprichiti. Shishupal was Hiranyakashipu. Salya was Samalad. That was Prahlad's brother. You had Drishtaketu was Anulad. Bhagadat was Vashkala. Kamsa was Kalnemi, who was a Danava. Duryodhan was a portion of Kali. Sikandin was a Rakshasas. So all of these personalities came to assist the Lord in his pastimes and in exterminating the demonic forces. And so within the jiva tattva categories, you have the nitya bharas and the nitya siddhas. That is, some entities who are eternally liberated, they are always in Krishna consciousness, and they are always assisting the Lord in some way or the other. They don't fall down. And like some of these demigods also fall within that category, you see. And some of the sages and so, they fall within that category. But then within the nitya bhara category, you see, that's where the tendency is to fall down and become enamored by the material energy. And so sometimes some of us also fall within that category. And so we have to be very careful, very vigilant, see, not to allow the material energy to allure us, see. And this brings us to what we have to do. We have to certainly surrender cent by cent to the Lord, see. We have to surrender cent per cent to the Lord so that we can able to overcome this illusory energy of the Lord. See, there's only one who surrenders to the Lord can free himself. Daivyesha gunamaya maya mama maya duratyaya. See, so if we can surrender to the Lord, to Lord Krishna, then we can be freed from this from these gunas and the pullings of the senses, the mind, the sense, the intelligence. And we can able to stabilize ourselves in Krishna consciousness nicely. It's stated that that 11 entities, they're being tossed in all the different species, in all the different planetary system and everything. See how it goes? Like as by the Kala Chakra, the wheel of time. See? As the wheel of time moves, the living entities, they revolve by the illusory energy of the Lord. See? Sometimes he revolves in hell, sometimes he revolves in heaven, sometimes he revolves on earth. See? Held fast by the noose of karma. So the force of karma is pulling living entities, see, from one body to the next, one planet to the next, constantly, always. See? And only if we can seriously surrender to the Lord, we can able to free ourselves from the shackles of karma. Karma is like a strong noose, like the hangman's noose. See? When the hangman noose, when that noose is placed on one's neck, there's no escape there. You see? So karma is like that. In fact, karma is even worse than the hangman's noose. Once you're entrapped in karma, then you move helplessly here and there, all over the place. See, the force of karma is so powerful. See? And so it's only by surrender to the spiritual master and to the Lord that we can free ourselves from this shackles, from this noose, this karma. And so to come to this platform of Krishna consciousness, to come to this platform is so special that we have to try to understand and not give it up, not make complacency distract us. See? And we have to diligently, see, humble ourselves and pray, see, and stick to the principles. Otherwise we become tossed, and then we'd have to take birth after birth. And as Kali Yuga wanes, it gets more tough, more difficult. See, it's like going against the tide of a river. When the river is going downstream, the force is so powerful. So that's the force of Kali Yuga right now. It's so powerful that it would toss us. It would toss us like a piece of paper, you see? Like a paper in the wind, you see? And so we want to take this opportunity now to surrender seriously. We want to take this opportunity now. And as devotees also, it is important for us to train our dependence also, to constantly preach to our dependence about the need to take to the process seriously. This is very important, because if we notice, a lot of these youngsters, many of the youngsters are so much carried away by what's going on in the world. See, especially when they go to school, go to college, they become caught up with all that's going on there. But so we have to be constantly behind them, constantly cajoling and constantly even begging and training them to take to the process seriously, to try to chant, to try to take prasadam, to try to take the association, to get involved in devotional service. I'm a parent, I have kids, and I can see how easily they're caught up with the modes out there. And most of you parents also know that. You see, you're totally aware of this. And so somehow we have to do our best, because it states that one should not become a leader, a guru, or a parent if he cannot release his dependence from the miseries of birth and death. See? So we have to try somehow or the other. We have to pray to the Lord. Actually, every morning I even pray to the Lord to help my dependence to take to the process. Because by myself, by my endeavor, it's almost impossible. See? You know, they'd be here one time at the temple, and then the next time, as soon as they're in school or in college, it's a different story. Totally carried away. See? And so if we can do those little steps, little by little, and then we can also be able to preach to others, distribute books and preach in whatever little way we can help to save some of the conditioned souls also. See? And in this way, some of us can able to go back to the spiritual world. In this age, in this Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. But of course the process has been simplified so much that it's it's like a piece of cake in some ways. See? Because the chanting is very easy, taking prasadam is easy, associating with devotees is easy, coming to the temple is easy. See? So we just have to understand. We have to wake up a little and understand that the process Srila Prabhupada gave, Lord Chaitanya gave, is very simple. Even though we're in a terrible age and we're fighting against the tide. So I had little time to plan, really. Of course, it's no excuse for me to see, but I chose to focus on this part a little more because I see that somehow or the other, some of us are lacking. Especially when I see so many people coming for the program, especially the big program. It means that we are there and we are aware, we know about Krishna consciousness. But then if you look at now or the regular day-to-day program, you know, just a minuscule of people here, you see? So there are a lot of devotees that have time, really. But, you know, be careful because that time would be taken away. Time, how it goes? Time is taking away everything on notice. Just like a water place, an unbaked pot placed in water, it disappears imperceptibly. You know, you have an ordinary pot and it goes into the water, it melts away without you even noticing. So time is taking away everything on notice, changing everything, you see, on notice. Time is moving in such a cunning way, really, that everything is being taken away and we're not realizing it. So even the time we have for Krishna consciousness would be taken away from us also. One day that would be taken away from us too, you see? And so we have to try to use it properly, utilize it, try to do the best we can now. And don't be in the illusion that we have 20, 30 years, 40 years. Death can come at any time. Param param yadvi param natesham. Any time, there's danger. You go to the road, whoops, an accident, you're finished. Finito, right? See? So we have to be smart and utilize this time properly to engage in this process nicely. You know, and we should see the temple room full every day also. See? Just like Janamashtami, it's overflowing. See? We should at least, daily we should try to come. It's not impossible for us. See? So I'll stop here if there's any comment or question. Yes, Dhamraj Prabhu.
You were talking about our immediate responsibilities in terms of our children. So, actually giving it a second thought, I'm not sure if I'm confusing myself with the thought or what angle it can be taken from, but it seems as though there can be a fine line between our responsibility to take care of our subjects and motivation, that we want to be motivated to see that, you know, that our kids excel in Krishna consciousness or whatever field. So we know for one that motivation in Krishna consciousness is actually bad, and on the other hand it's good. So how can you explain the difference, or what should be one's mentality, especially a parent, in approaching these subject matters?
Okay. So our responsibility as parents, you know, you have to provide the basics for them, you know, and that's the duty of all parents. But beyond that, you know, we have to give them Krishna consciousness and set up a Krishna conscious environment for them. See, whereby they can always take prasadam, always able to associate with the devotees, always hear bhajans, and always able to engage some way or the other. This is beyond our normal duties, and this is essential for devotees. You see? Because basically everything that we do is Krishna conscious. You see? So the children also it would be the same thing. Everything they do would have to be the same too. Of course, when they go outside there and they're exposed with the kids out there and the processes out there and so forth, then they're distracted. And so they have to be told and they have to be trained to be in the water but don't get wet, to be in the material world but don't get affected. I mean, they would be affected, but then they have to be smart, you know, to know the difference and try to stick to the process and seek the association of devotees always. And then the other point of wanting them to excel in Krishna consciousness, that's also good there too. But, you know, somehow if they can't, well, you know, let them do the best they can. Of course, like some people might try to, you know, push them as hard, you know, to be the best singer or the best dancer, or you know, that may be there, and it's good also, but it's not really necessary, you know, in some ways. But of course, those attributes or those talents to achieve, they are good to use in Krishna's service. Like if you're a good dancer, good singer, good whatever, they're good, you know, because they can be used in Krishna's service and people can be attracted by them. Any other point or comment?
I was also dwelling on that. To me, it's like sending a drunk man into a bar. We're conditioned souls, and you know, especially our kids, we're sending them out into the modes of passion and ignorance. And we're saying we want them to be Krishna conscious, we want them to be in sattva-gun, and then sudasattvas. But how is that possible when we're sending them into the lion's? So my thoughts on this is we actually have to create a culture. And culture means where they don't need to go into the modes of passion and ignorance, where there's an economic system set up, where there's cultural activities going on. People come to Janmashtami because there's cultural activities going on. They're excited to see plays. They're excited to see, you know, devotees in doing different things. The village of Vrindavan, it's like an artistic type of display. So people are attracted to cultural things and a culture of Krishna consciousness. Then when there's an economic system, people don't need to plug into the modes of passion and ignorance for making their money. Even a very small example, I see most devotees don't understand even what the demons are doing to food they're eating. Most are eating GMOs or eating foods with pesticides. These things eventually, these pesticides, they'll actually create dementia. They're using the same pesticides in warfare as they are in our food. Most devotees eat it. So we're not even conscious, we're not being educated, and we're plugging into that culture. And we're not saying, you know, Prabhupada in 76, 77, he kept speaking on Varnashram, because before he was preaching, and I see we're still preaching how Prabhupada was preaching before, and he was preaching that from the aspect that the devotees were really engaged in service. But then there started to be more householders and children, and he started to switch his mood to we need to create more of a culture. And he was saying we need an economic system, and devotees shouldn't be going out and even buying materials to build their own houses. They should be getting it from the land we have. So all these things, we're speaking these high philosophy, and we need to implement this.
Very, very good. Very good points. I really appreciate that. Actually, when I came to this society, I bought a farm, and I had started some degree of self-sufficiency, practicing some degree of Varnashram, see? But with one man, it's like a one-man show. It's kind of difficult, you know. But of course, this brings up the bigger question this brings up the bigger picture of Varnashram and the need for it, to implement it in some form or the other. It is important. The points you made are very good, like sending a drunk man in a bar, you know. the kids are already distraught with the modes there, really, and then send them out there in the school system, really. Definitely they would be affected. And so all the points you made are very valid and very relevant, really, especially, you know, eating all this pesticide food and everything. So that's why, actually, I was practicing organic at the beginning, see, but then after a time, you know, it's exhausting, really. It's difficult, you know, because, you know, doing it by itself, but you're doing it in a community with a lot of people and so forth, it's different. It becomes easier, you know. The burden becomes lighter, see, because many hands, you know. So these things are there, and we have to come up. I know, like that Prabhu the other day was talking about economics, Varnashram economics, what? Economics of the Bhagavad Gita, spiritual economics, and so forth. And these are, it's very important. And the Varnashram system is also very important. That we may not be able to implement it like, you know, the ancient time, but at least we could implement it to some degree, whereby we could have our own association, our own school, and our own food, self-sufficiency, and so forth. But little by little, we have to work on it, really. And then we, you know, all of us have to think about these things, work on it, and then come up in a collective way and try to get it implemented. But it, very valid points you made. You know, it means you're thinking, and I think you've been thinking about it for a while, too. You see, it's very, very good. Any other points? Yes, Mataji?
Thank you for your class. I hope not to be taken offensively for this question, but I just have a hard time with the point that you made that, you know, on festivals we see so many people here, and yet you don't see them on other days, and so, you know, we are assuming that they're, you know, relaxed or they're not as serious about their pursuit of Krishna consciousness. I don't know. I think I just know some very, very Krishna conscious people who don't come here in the morning for whatever reason. So I don't know. It just seems to me like it's a little harsh to judge people's Krishna consciousness by how much we see them in the morning program, or, you know. That's just something, you know. I think, you know, I have the privilege to come here a lot because I don't have a job that requires me to be there at a certain time, but, you know.
That's a good point. Of course, definitely. You can't really, really judge one because they're not coming. I mean, a lot of people are working out there. A lot of them are in school and so forth. But there are a lot, too, that are not working, are not in school, have time. You know, I mean, you know, I really don't want to judge anyone, but if you're followers of Srila Prabhupada, we'd want to do what he wants us to do. And if Srila Prabhupada was here personally, he would demand on his disciples, all of them or most of them, get to the temple, come see the deities, listen to Bhagavatam, follow all the programs. That's Srila Prabhupada. So we have to also, Srila Prabhupada is here also. You know, he might not be in his physical presence, really, but he's here. So we also have to understand this, and don't become complacent, or don't become... I mean, my point is that we have to be careful. There's a fine line there. And sometimes, you know, we practice just in home, and then it becomes comfortable. We can listen to the class on the internet. We could practice a little bit. But it's different, because this is our process. You see, and ISKCON is ours, really. And if we don't show solidarity, and if we don't try to support it, who would do it, really? See? So if we don't come to the temple, who would, really? See? So because it's our process, it's our thing, then we should try to make it, you know, try to make it as much as possible to come here, really. See, it's important. But I'm not trying to be heavy and, I mean, I like your point. That is very good, really. And I don't think you're either trying to be critical, really. But I know that there are many people that can attend the program and make it to the program. I hope I'm not sounding hard to them, really. But if they can come, really, I think that would be very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and to the Lord. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.